Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, November the 1st. We're going to be chatting today with our good friend George Rodriguez, and this is a good day to chat with George. Not only are we on the first day of November, but Game 6 of the World Series is still around. They're going to play that tomorrow night, so I'm sure George has a few things to say about that. In fact, why don't we say hello to our good friend George Rodriguez and let him do the Astros cheer. Are you ready, George? Are you ready for the Astros cheer?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready to go, buddy.
You're ready. All right. Well, I thought you would say so. You know, the great thing about this great World Series, George, is always a political angle to everything, as you know. But the beautiful thing about this World Series is the commissioner is going to get booed no matter where he presents the World Series trophy, whether it's in Houston or in Atlanta. So that's the best. That's what I'm looking forward to. I want to stay up as long as the game takes because I want to hear the commissioner just get booed for taking that All-Star game out of Atlanta, George.
Well, you know, what was really interesting was to see Trump at the game last night.
That was great. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was hilarious. Did you see the picture? It looks like the first lady was having the time of her life. Did you see how hard she was laughing?
Yeah. What was interesting about that also is that about a week ago, CNN ran a picture or a snippet of a video where they claimed that the former first lady was making eyes, rolling her eyes after Trump had made a comment. And, you know, obviously she was looking at something else, doing something else, but they took the opportunity to try to create an issue or a controversy.
Well, is that a shock now, George? Yeah, is that a shock? Well, I have to tell you, I thought it was, I saw a little bit of them. They had them a little bit on TV the other night, but most of what I saw was the film clips because it looks like everybody at the stadium was filming them. And she was just having a great time, you know, doing the whatever they do in Atlanta, you know, which does get a little bit repetitive after the fourth inning, George. I mean, after watching that for four innings, you know, you say, okay, give us one inning, please, without that. But I guess that's part of being an Atlanta Braves fan. But it's a great series, and I'm happy, delighted that Houston is still in it because I didn't want Houston going down in five. These are two very good teams. They need to go seven, George.
I agree. I think they're very, very good teams. I think that they are well matched. I like that they have not played against each other before.
Yes.
And I hope that it goes down to the wire, and I hope that Houston wins. But,
well, I know. I'm rooting for Houston, too. I like to see the Astros win. But, again, my favorite part is that the commissioner is going to get booed no matter who wins because I think the fans in either city were ready for that. Well, George, I got to give you a commentary on the temperatures up here in North Texas. It doesn't get any more beautiful than what we have right now. I assume it must be the same down there.
It is 83 degrees, very low humidity, fantastic.
Yes, I think it may actually be warmer than that here. Let me just do a I've quaked this thing. I can never find this thing on my phone, the weather one. I can never find it. But I think it was 77. Here we go. Here we go. I found it. 77, beautiful sunshine. I mean, it's just an absolutely beautiful day here in North Texas. Well, let's talk a little bit of politics, George. I want to get into what's happening in Texas, of course, what's happening on the border with a caravan coming north. But I got to begin with Virginia, because you know a lot about Virginia, having lived in D.C. And Virginia, when you were there, was very reliably red, and then it changed a little bit in 2006 and then 2008. But yet, despite the fact that it became more blue, the fact is that most of the governor's races have been pretty tight, 3 or 4 points. And the last time Senator Warner was reelected, I mean, it came down to a very tight race. So I think the red has always been there, but maybe it has not been as motivated to vote as they are this year, George.
Well, I think that the conservative values definitely are there. I mean, you know, there are a lot of old families, a lot of folks that, you know, in the particularly as you get into the deeper part of the state, and then in the southern part of the state where you've got large military presence, you've got a lot of folks with conservative values. The D.C. area has increasingly been more and more organized by the federal employee unions. They know that they have a large presence there. They know that whether it's someone who is a GS-3, low-level clerk, or it's an SES, high-ranking individual, to them it doesn't matter what, but they care about their agency getting more money and getting more power, because by definition that means more money and more power for them. So they've been very, very busy organizing folks and preaching, you know, big government, the gospel of big government, responsible government, as they put it, in the suburbs. And consequently, it has had an impact. It has had an impact in Northern Virginia, particularly in Arlington and Alexandria, Fairfax as well, but to a lesser degree in other parts of the state. Nevertheless, there is also a real push to get all of these folks as well-organized to the polls as possible, to get them to vote. My understanding is that over a million early votes have already been tabulated. That's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, you know, that's almost one-eighth of the entire registered voting population. And, you know, that's it is a very, very well-organized Democrat stronghold. Whether they turn out or not, whether they are willing to take on the responsibility of what is happening in their world, as far as the parents rebelling, as far as folks rebelling against illegal immigration, high gasoline prices, inflation, whether all of that takes place, it remains to be seen. But I guarantee that there is a very, very well-organized Democrat party in Northern Virginia.
Right. Well, no, there is. And they are, and I think that's what's keeping the election close, George, the fact that, there is such a large Democrat vote coming in, that, you know, that's what's keeping it close. But I do find it amazing that if you look at what they call the average, right now, if you average all the polls, Youngkin is like 48.5 and McAuliffe is like 47. So it's about like a point and a half difference favoring Youngkin. And if you're a two-term former governor, and at this stage of the game, you were supposed to win this big, and at this stage of the game, you're a little bit around 47. I mean, that has to worry people. And I also, there's a story out today that they're concerned about getting the black vote out, that apparently the black vote is not excited with McAuliffe. So that, you know, I will tell you, I mean, predictions are always hard to make. I will predict that Youngkin will win. It'll be close, but he'll win. And but then comes the larger question, George, and that's what I wanted to pick up next, and that is, what is the impact of this across the country? Because I think that what we're seeing there is a rebellion. In fact, I have a post coming out tomorrow morning saying, don't mess with the lioness and her cubs, because she is ferocious when you're messing with her cubs. And that's what I think is happening here. These mothers are angry, and they should be. They should be very angry by what's happening in their schools. And these ladies have done an amazing job of standing up. And I think they're going to pull this out in Virginia. But then the message to the rest of the country is that ladies, I mean, all these mothers can do it in the rest of the country too, where the climate, frankly, George, is going to be more favorable than it is in Virginia, George.
So wait a minute. So you think that the Democrats are going to win the governorship there?
No, I don't. I think that what I meant to say, let me re-explain myself. I think that Youngkin will. I think Youngkin will win.
Oh, yeah. I think so too.
No, I think he's going to win, but the point I was trying to make is not so much about, he will win. In my opinion, he will win. Close, but he will win. But what the point I was trying to make, George, is I think the impact of this in the rest of the country is going to be devastating for the Democrats because, in Virginia, these ladies, these moms, have been swimming uphill the entire campaign. I mean, they're in a blue state. But when you get out to the rest of the country, George, where the terrain is more favorable.
They have upset Mama Bear. We were seeing it here in San Antonio in one situation here on the north side where a mom went to go protest the critical race theory teachings. She was literally handcuffed and removed. All she did was just, speak out, protest, and, she really, really wasn't doing anything. They demanded that she be removed. Now, there is a big rally behind her. There is a real effort to try to, in some form or fashion, get her to back off, and of course, that's just fueling the fire some more. So they have messed with Mama Bear, and that's been a no-no.
No, well, that's my point. That's my point. That I think they've gone after, when you mess with somebody's kids, mothers don't like that. And this story that I think is what is driving so much of this, young 15-year-old girl who was raped in a girl's bathroom by a guy who was, I don't know exactly how it happened, but he was wearing a skirt, I guess. He had told everybody he was now a transgender or whatever they call him. And he goes into a girl's room and he rapes a 15-year-old girl. And then when the father tries to complain, they try to destroy the story. The school board was protecting the transgender because they wanted to protect transgender issues. I mean, look, if I was a parent in that district, I'd be fit to be tied, George.
Yeah, it was, their school districts seem to be have wanted to create their own little their world, their own little fiefdoms. By having their own police departments, by having their own just everything by separating themselves, and then on top of that, they fail to take care of the local crime. Not only do they fail to, they try to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
It's unthinkable. It's outrageous.
It is. And George, this is something that I have been thinking about a great deal here the last week or so with all of these news, all the news coming out of Virginia. When did the teachers' union become, in essence, so distant from average parents? Because I remember the teachers' union myself when I was a student, later when we had kids in school, that it was always a very sympathetic movement in the sense that as a parent, you always, I mean, look, parents love teachers. I think for the most part, we love teachers because teachers do such an amazing job raising our kids. You know, I may have told you the story that every time I went to see my sixth grade or seventh grade, and my kid, the sixth or seventh grade teacher or eighth grade teacher at my son's school, I would always go to the teacher and say, thank you so much for having the patience of putting up with this kid. You know, because at that age, you know, kids can be unbearable. And yet these wonderful ladies, these wonderful ladies teach him and put up with him. So I think all of us love teachers. But somewhere along the way, the teachers' union got away from that and became nothing but a left-wing organization. And that's what I think is blowing this up in Virginia, George.
Well, that's the irony. That's the irony that I see in this whole thing, because I've got nieces and that have been teachers for the past 20 years. And, you know, what seems to have happened is that the teachers' union became more and more interested in defending the teachers, particularly in the ghetto schools, in those schools where the parents are distanced, you know, because of whatever, because of their values from the kids, and the kids run amok. And so they became more and more interested in defending the kids. Now, they seem to be adamant about defending the teachers and defending the values of, in the ghetto, which is crazy. I mean, I just don't understand, you know, how a teacher can be a functioning tool of society in some of these schools where the kids are just out of control and the parents don't care.
Right. No, I agree. But I can, you know, when I listen to, you know, to the leadership of the school of the teachers union, when I hear their leaders, you know, they sound like nothing but crazy left-wing Democrats. And
that's
I'm
it.
Sitting
that's
there it. Saying, I know
agenda,
that most...
The agenda has become much more important
than
what they're...
And it kind of reminds me of a situation back in 2012 where a lady who's a teacher in Wisconsin was telling me that, you know, the state of Wisconsin was almost 50-50 in 2020 for Romney and Obama. It was a very close election, maybe a couple of points in favor of Obama. And there were many teachers. This lady said to me that there were many, many teachers that she knew who had voted for Romney and were furious that when they give money to the union, 90%, 95% goes to the Democrats. And they're saying, wait a minute, half of us didn't vote that way, and yet you're giving all that much money to the Democrats. So somewhere along the way, I don't know when, but somewhere along the way, the teachers' union became the issue. They were no longer interested in getting better pay for the teachers. We all support that. Getting a better retirement for the teachers, we all support that. Better work environment, of course we support that. But when it becomes, when the teachers' union becomes, in a sense, you know, the leading force in the indoctrination of children, particularly some of the crap that they are teaching in schools, look, if I was a parent, I'd be out there demonstrating too, George.
National Association of School Boards did, you know, they call them terrorists and call on the FBI to investigate them. Then they back off real quick, all because of what they're seeing, the reaction that they're seeing in Virginia.
That's right.
I think it's very, very obvious that these folks have bit off more than they can chew. They care only about the agenda,
mm-hmm.
and that's all.
That's
what they're looking for.
No, and that's unfortunate because I think a lot of the good teachers are going to get hurt because they're all going to be branded the same way. But I believe very strongly that the teachers union lost their way and became an organization more interested in supporting Democrats than in supporting teachers.
Exactly. I mean, look at the Hispanic organization. I mean, LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens. My grandfather was one of the founding members way back in 1922 here in Texas, or 1928, excuse me, here in Texas. And the whole idea of LULAC was to help people, Latinos or Americans of Latin descent, as they called them, Americans of Latin descent, to become more American, to be integrated, to learn English, to accept the values of the United States of America. You talk to them now.
Oh, my God.
That is far from what they want.
No, I know. In fact, I remember attending, George, a speech here in Dallas back in 1988 of then candidate for president, Vice President Bush in 1988. He spoke at LULAC. And
I remember. I was there.
Yeah, and I remember the makeup of the leadership, the makeup of the board. There were people I knew. It was clearly a more diversified group than it is now. I think Lula right now is just another extension of the Democrat Party. I mean, that's what it is.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I think the teachers' union has unfortunately fallen down that same path. So you get
exactly
this.
Right.
You get, teachers' unions that are completely, it seems to me, disinterested in what the parents have to say. And I think that's a lot of what you're saying. So let me repeat so that my friend George doesn't get disappointed. I think Youngkin is going to win. And I think that the real consequence of Virginia after Youngkin wins is going to be the impact on the rest of the country, because I think these ladies in Virginia, these moms in Virginia, have created a political prairie fire that it's just going to go from the East Coast all – it might even hit California, George.
Yeah, definitely it's in Texas right now. Definitely.
Absolutely.
I can verify that it's here in Texas, that the mama
Absolutely.
Bears are upset and, and they don't know what to do. So,
no, you're right.
You're
exactly right, and that's exactly right. Let me take a quick break, and then we'll get back we'll talk a little bit about politics in Texas and the maps and everything else. We'll be right back with George. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, chatting with our good friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. George, I'm just thinking out loud. I mean, imagine you and I were at a cabinet meeting in the White House, and somebody walked into the room and said, I've got this great idea, just absolutely wonderful idea. Why don't we pay families that were separated at the border $400,000 each, so that we don't have to fight this in court? I know what I would say, George. I think I know what you would say. But I would say, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind, okay, that we're going to pay these people more money than we pay the families who lost their loved ones in Afghanistan or in any war? I mean, and it drives me to the conclusion, George, that this is an administration. These are a group of people who were not ready for the major leagues. I'll just put it that way. They were simply not ready for the kind of...
Immature. The word is immature.
That's part of it. But I think, I mean, clearly these people don't seem to have... They're tone deaf. I don't know how to put it, George. They're tone deaf.
Yeah. It's, I really do believe that these folks are both immature and insecure. They... want to be loved by the world. They want to be loved by everyone, and so they're going to do whatever it takes to be loved. On the other hand, they are also immature, and consequently, they will actually consider doing anything. This idea of paying, you know, paying reparations, as they put it, to folks who were separated because they crossed the border illegally.
Right.
That's the same thinking that you've got in San Francisco, where they are paying people not to kill each other.
That's right.
I mean, they are actually paying people not to kill each other.
Right.
So, you know, in Los Angeles, I believe that they are paying people not to rob above a certain amount,
mm-hmm.
Not to sell drugs. You know, it is, they don't understand that when you reward bad behavior,
right,
you get more bad behavior.
Absolutely.
You know, they just don't
Absolutely.
Seem to, that concept completely seems to be lost on them.
No, it is, but it's so foolish. I mean, that you would think that somebody in the administration, you know, when they're passing this area idea around, that somebody in the administration would say, "Hey, guys, let's not go public with that one yet. let's kick that around a little bit more. You know, let's not go public with that one."
I think, on the contrary, it was leaked. I do believe that it was leaked to make sure that it was considered.
Yeah.
To make sure that, you know, I mean, again, I see the inklings of someone immature who would say, "Oh yeah, because people are going to get on board when they see that."
Yeah, that's the thing. We're gonna really win back that Hispanic vote in South Texas that we've been losing because of the chaotic border. We're gonna really win him back by promoting this. I mean, these people, I agree with you, they're immature in many cases, insecure. But I think also, I just don't think they're ready for the major leagues. And, you know, they're just not up to it. I mean, if President Biden is serious about governing, he needs to say, "Everybody, submit your resignation by the next hour, and here comes a brand new team," because these people are not helping the president, George.
Nope, they're not.
They're not.
Now,
the president is not helping himself either, which is another issue.
Well,
but he's the president.
The chant at the game last night, at the Braves game last night was, "Let's go, Brandon."
Well, I know, and that seems to be everywhere. But, I mean, the president is not helping himself. He's surrounded by a bunch of people who are simply not helping him. I mean, if they're
not ready for prime time.
They were not ready for prime time. They're certainly not ready for the major leagues or prime time, whatever. They're not ready for it, and they're showing it every single day. One more note here, George. The maps have been signed by the governor. They're in place, and now I guess there will be some lawsuits. I don't think the lawsuits are going to work because I just don't think they will. I mean, they'll get some attention. I'm sure there'll be a judge somewhere that will probably throw out the maps. I mean, you know they're going to run to their favorite judge for that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and their favorite judge will side with them, and they will make big noise about it.
Right.
But ultimately, I don't think that it's going to go anywhere.
No, and
very interesting. If you want to talk legal stuff, it's very interesting how the argument is going as we speak at the Supreme Court regarding Texas's abortion law.
How is it going? I have not followed any of the.
Well, it's still in the process of being argued, but the folks for productive rights,
mm-hmm.
The pro-abortion folks, were very, very adamant that the federal government has got to set the standard, that a state cannot. That was what they were saying on CNN, that the state cannot tell the people what they can do and what they can. I mean, these people clearly do not understand or care what the Constitution of the United States says.
Yeah, I think they missed this.
Nor do they understand the name of the country, United States.
Yeah, I think they somehow, when they say things like that, it's like they skip the Tenth Amendment. and yeah. somehow they avoid that one. But you know what? Something that really drives me crazy, George, when they talk about this abortion law, is the fact that they're even calling it a law. It's not a law. It's an opinion of the Supreme Court.
Exactly.
And you hear and even reporters say that. And I think a lot of reporters are just saying that because they repeat that from somebody else. Okay.
Exactly. The reporters themselves are not smart.
Yeah.
Are not educated.
Or they're not doing their homework, because the fact is that this is an opinion of the Supreme Court. This is not a. Yeah. There has never been a federal law. In other words, Roe v. Wade has never been codified into a law. Now, many have tried to do that, but they just can't get it off first base, or they can't give it past first base, whatever. We're thinking baseball these days, so we're using baseball analogies, but they can't seem to get it past first base. And so it is not a law. It can be. It's an opinion of the Supreme Court. An opinion of
the best thing that we can do is just to hand it off to the Supreme Court, or to hand it off to our running back.
Well,
we did last night.
Right, that's right. But I think that I would not be surprised at all if the Supreme Court says, "Well, Texas can do this. Texas can regulate."
I think they will. And if they read the Constitution, if they interpret the Constitution correctly, they're going to say that. They
right.
certainly will say that.
And I think they will. That's my feeling too. Now the maps. Getting back to the maps for a quick second here before we go. The maps are in place, and I was reading this. Texas, we don't have to explain our maps anymore. We're not under that Voting Rights Act of 65
right.
or whatever,
exactly.
which means that it becomes a state issue. It's not a federal issue.
Exactly, and I think that this is why it's going to follow the same pattern and argument that the abortion law is going to follow, that the state of Texas has a redistricting done by a duly elected legislature, and that's the end of it.
That's it, and the solution is not to call me a racist. The solution is to win elections. I mean,
that's what
it's all about. And I do remember back in, I think it was 2015 or 2016 or 2017, sometime in that time frame, that the Supreme Court did settle an issue in Pennsylvania, I think it was, or in Maryland, where they basically said, look, these fights over gerrymandering and stuff like that has to be decided in the state, either by the political class or by the state courts. But the federal government,
that's right.
I mean, the Supreme Court is not going to get into gerrymandering in one state or another, because imagine if they did that, George. Who in the heck is
right.
going to be? They'd be spending the next 40 years arguing about the shape of a map.
That's right.
That's not what the court does. Well, George, I think we had a great meeting today. I think we had a great show. We had a lot to talk about. Any predictions? Is it going seven? I think it is. I think it is going seven.
Yeah, I think it's going to go seven. And, again, my hope is that the Astros win at the end.
Yes, I am rooting for the Astros as well. But I will tell you something. You as an Astros fan, I'm more of a Rangers fan than an Astros fan because of location, nothing else.
Right.
But I love the Astros. They're a great team. They've put together an amazing organization. But they may be reaching a point. I think the shortstop, Correa, is up for free agency, and they may be others. So that team, this may very well be their last ride together,
yeah.
George.
Yep, a swan song, yep.
Yeah, because some of those guys, I mean, I'd love to see Correa return with the Astros. I mean, where else would he go? But you never know.
Yep.
With all the money they're going to throw at him, this guy is going to be walking away with one heck of a contract. It'll be bigger than the GDP of some countries. All right, George. Well, you and I are predicting a Republican victory in Virginia, and I'm predicting that all those ladies across the country are just going to be a political force that will literally dominate 2022. I really believe that.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Thank you, George. Have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for joining us, as always. Our good friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas talking a little bit about Virginia. I think Youngkin is going to win, the Republican. But I think the larger point is what I was trying to say there, is that I think this is a political force that is just going to sweep the country. These ladies, fighting school boards are going to be a massive political movement that will have a big impact in the midterms of 2022. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.